Thank you for purchasing an inspirational audio from Empowered Creativity Institute. This audio comes from Listen to Life, Wisdom in Life Stories by Dion McInnes. Copyright belongs to Dion McInnes, so please respect that. The audio is read by the author and may include more content than in the book. A Dad's Day. Among my presentations about the things we hear when we listen to life is one that I call Daddin'. Some of you have heard my explanation. Today is a good day to recall what Daddin' is and what it means and what you might discover by looking at it. In our society, the verb mother inspires wonderful images of loving, nurturing, tending, and so on. If you say, "I saw a woman mothering a child at the park," your listener likely imagines the interactions between the mother and her child. In our society, the verb father connotes procreation. If you say, "I saw a man fathering a child at the park," your listener likely envisions a man, having sex. So for the sake of clarity, I use the verb dadden. Being a dad is certainly a verb as well as a noun, and the role holds whether the man is married or divorced, because being a father is in the heart and the soul, not on the finger or license. Consider the times your father was more a verb than a noun. The tradition and burden that fathers are to be the invincible, almighty, money-creating, stoic leader of the tribe robs mothers, children, and fathers of the reality of the dad experience. The quest for that ideal destroys women, children, and the men who believe they can be all those things. I'm blessed to have had the father that I did, and equally blessed that there was not a pretense of perfection. His tombstone reads, "He has left us a most noble pattern." Not perfection, not godliness, not the perfect role model, but he did leave a noble pattern. Despite his demons and the loss of a daughter to leukemia at the age of 5 in the 1940s, your father had his losses too. My neighbor told me about the loss of a daughter who was killed at the age of 8. She told me that her husband held their youngster as she died, and that his spirit to grow and live his life fully was almost snuffed out by the loss. It is unlikely that the father you know or see on the street would ever share the pains of loss, whether from death, divorce, or career, nor would he share the joys of growth, children, spirit, and love. So be it, I guess, but rest assured that the man with a kid on his shoulders and another tugging at his back pocket, or the one fishing alongside a young man version of himself, is living the verb of dad and not just the noun of father. Listen to his actions, even if there are no words, particularly if that man is your dad. I'm happy to say that some years after I wrote that piece, I wrote the book Daddin', The Verb of Being a Dad, and the first copy of it arrived to me 48 hours before the birth of my first granddaughter. Indeed, Daddin'. Be impeccable with your word. New Year's Eve. A busy cross street in Houston, near the Unity Church to which I was heading, where old friends were waiting to introduce me to their service, in which old burdens are written down and burned in a communal release. As I waited at the red light, considering the things that I wanted to discharge before I headed into a new year, and as I considered my rereading of The Four Agreements by Don Miguel Ruiz in spiritual preparation for this night, a panhandler on the median caught my eye. His white cardboard sign with written black letters prompted a laugh and a serious thought. Why lie? I want beer. I figure he made more money that night than any other beggar on the streets because of the location, mood of the night, and integrity of the word. The bearded, bundled beggar brought a lot of wisdom to those who watched him that night. One, if you're called to do something, do it. Two, be smart enough to think about where you act upon your ideas. Three, consider the receptivity of those who you must count on to succeed. And four, be forthright about your motivations. The first of the four agreements in the book by that name is be impeccable with your word, meaning, according to the author, do no sin with your word. That is, be true with what you express with your words. The beggar could not have been truer with his words, and it was up to each driver coming alongside him on the street to decide what to do with what the man had to say. We cannot change our word, our message, or our clarity in order to better position our intention against what someone may say or do in response. A former boss's secretary used to ask me at times, "Are you trying to say something without saying something?" We must say what we have to say and be clear with it. We cannot change our message, our minds, or our convictions as a strategy to avoid upsetting others, hurting others' feelings, within reason, of course, protecting our image for image's sake, or to minimize any possible negative reaction. If our goal is to minimize intensity of response, we can be sure that both positive and negative responses will be dulled to a boring medium. Did everyone like the beggar's honesty? No. I'm sure many thought, "See, the bum is going to spend his money on booze." True, but he was honest about it. Better that than using his words to play on others' emotions during the holidays, I'd say. The Unity service was wonderful. The beggar's lesson, profound.